We have Dan Stewart, who is with the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, TB, and Malaria, based in Geneva. And along with her regular duties at the fund, Diana has been working on the Global Fund's gender strategy.
Thank you. And thanks to my fellow panelists who've provided a very interesting, I think, theoretical and conceptual framework for our discussion. As many of you know, the organization that I work for, the Global Fund, was intended to support not only prevention and treatment programs, but also to invest in programs that mitigate the impact of AIDS on individuals and on communities. And to do that, the Global Fund has been open in investing in any activities that would provide financial compensation for care and support, especially for those affected and infected by HIV. In our guidelines for proposals, we quite clearly state that disease-focused activities that we would fund could include community-based programs aimed at alleviating the impact of diseases, including programs directed at women, orphans, vulnerable children and adolescents, and alleviating the burden of care and support on, especially, women. So our guidelines very clearly allow for and welcome impact mitigation activities that could quite legitimately include some of the things we've been talking about, compensation, stipends, allowances, some kind of monthly payments for women for care responsibilities that they undertake. But we do not, however, have many examples of those programs in our portfolio, despite having had 7 rounds of funding and having more than $10 billion committed to date. Most of our grants that focus on impact mitigation components include activities like nutritional support, school fees, uniforms, and other support for orphans and vulnerable children, and support to home-based care activities, so things like paying for transport, very legitimate production costs, but no compensation for caregivers. But I want to use an example that we do have in our portfolio, which will, in fact, illustrate many of the points that my colleagues have been making. And it's a famous example that many of you will have heard of. And it's our Swaziland HIV grant. We don't have time to go into all the details here, but I'll give you just a few of the key components because I think it's a really illustrative of some of the challenges that we're talking about. And to understand this, you need a few contextual issues of the situation in Swaziland at the time of this HIV grant, which was around 2004. It's estimated that in 2001, over 30% of the adult population of Swaziland was living with HIV/AIDS, of whom 88,000 were women in the age group 15 to 49 years, and 14,000 were children less than 16 years of age. Excuse me. The World Bank and UNDP were quoted in March 2003 as reporting that 66% of the Swazi population live in absolute poverty. And in rural areas, the percentage of people living in absolute poverty is said to be as high as 80%. There are over 60,000 orphans with approximately 4 children per household, an average age of 11 years. At least 15,000 households are headed by orphaned children living on their own or with a sick parent or a relative with no resources or skills to provide for their basic needs. So clearly, the women and young girls of Swaziland needed support. So in 2004, Swaziland applied. They received a grant for HIV, which started on the 1st of October 2005. It had a total 5-year value of $45 million, not inconsiderable for a relatively small country. It finances youth, peer education, home-based and palliative care, and impact mitigation, with the key goal being to create an enabling environment which would mitigate the adverse effects of HIV/AIDS on the population. And one of the objectives of that, original proposal was a specific plan for 18 caregivers who take care of orphans and vulnerable children in each of 360 communities, so in the region of 6,500 caregivers, to be compensated every month. Now, during the first 2 years of this grant, so from 2005 to 2007, the implementation of that aspect of the grant proved difficult to realize, which is political speak for impossible. The main problem with the activity seemed to be the targeting of the recipients of the funds. So it proved an insurmountable challenge to select the few chosen ones who were going to receive compensation and leave out the majority of the caregivers who could also claim legitimate rights to have that compensation. And this gets to many of the points that have already been raised. The considerations that were had in these discussions with the government and the communities who were trying to figure out how to implement this grant was the likely negative long-term impact on caregiving. This is really interesting in terms of the last few interventions. The negative impact of long-term caregiving, as the funds available were not enough to cater for all the community caregivers. And the sustainability of the financing was a major issue because the government of Swaziland had no resources to continue after the lifetime of the grant. So there we get to who's responsible for this work. And also the challenge of questioning the power structures, because once you start to compensate that work, it becomes valuable. Then everybody who does that work has valuable work, and everybody should be compensated. So it just became a sort of political and financial and economic impossibility. So one of the solutions we looked at was some of the things suggested by Sophia, which was to look for groups and cooperatives, to look for more sort of sustainable projects. So the capitalization of caregivers groups, or sort of hybrid saving schemes, direct funds injections into associations and so on, models that are already used in Swaziland by UNICEF and World Vision. And the CCM tried to make this work. But because they wanted to reach the caregivers who might not be part of those associations or part of those cooperatives, they decided on a final strategy, which was a mix of those two things. Some of it was cooperative, but for those who were not part of the associations, they'd receive a direct stipend. So once again, they got to the problem, who receives the stipend, who's part of the association? So during these 2 years, we didn't manage to do it. We looked at the grant again at the end of last year, which is when we review the grant for renewed funding for the next 3 years, and tried to come up with a new strategy that could be a solution. So part of the possible solution that we're currently looking at would be to take on the savings model pretty much as implemented by World Vision, which is pretty much compensating caregivers according to the original proposal. So financial contributions to rotating groups of caregivers over shorter periods to try and prevent divisions with the caregivers and not disincentivize caregiving for those who do not receive cash contributions. So you get to the very heart of the matter. You can't decide that some people who do this work is valuable and that others are not. So we still haven't reached agreement on that. We haven't made a disbursement under that grant to Swaziland since October 2007. And so this whole impact mitigation part of the grant, which everybody hailed as innovative and wonderful and about to set a new precedent, has proved almost impossible to negotiate with the communities that it was meant to serve. So those are the challenges at the country level, and I think there's a few issues there that we can clearly pull out. One is equity. Once you start doing this, you have to do it for everybody. You can't target certain caregivers. And in a context like Swaziland, where you have orphan heads of household, et cetera, how do you decide who's most in need when you have so many conflicting issues, which gets us to the issue of scale. The money in the grant just can't stretch as far as the communities needs it to go. So where are the social protection programs, as Sophia was saying? Where do you start? You need a much bigger program that can be provided for under an HIV grant. And when you have a country with the kind of prevalence rates of Swaziland, you're not just talking about taking care of the HIV community, because the entire country is the HIV community. And then sustainability. Once you start, you have a social and moral responsibility to continue. You can't, that work can't be valuable today, but not valuable tomorrow. If it's real work, it's real work, and it needs to be compensated. So how do you look at those long-term models? So I think there's lots of ways to talk about it, and maybe we can do that in the discussion. I just want to mention two issues that we're looking at the Global Fund that might provide some entry points for us to try and solve the way we're looking at it. First is our gender equality strategy, because what we're looking at there is particularly the vulnerability of women and girls and trying to catalyze responses. And part of that strategy, and I can talk more about it if you like, but is to build partnerships around this, and we're going to rely on our partners to develop models that can actually work. we now have the money. We have a huge amount of capitalization of the Global Fund. And as Sophia was saying, if we can spend it on prevention, we can spend it on treatment, we can also spend it on care and support. And the second is we have a new opportunity for funding, which is community system strengthening, which tries to look at community structures, strengthen them so that they can receive the money. And that goes to the heart of what the problem was in Swaziland, where there just weren't sufficient structures to be able to channel the funds in an efficient, fair, recognized and valued by the community way. So those are two areas where I see some hope. But I think it's just tragic that now that we have a global fund that can provide real financial investment in these kinds of services, that we can't find a model at the community and country level to make it work. And I think it's because we're challenging some very, very entrenched power structures. This is not just about providing condoms. It's actually about changing society. And it's too threatening.